Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, July 18th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 15, the first paragraph, My Wife and I Abandon Ourselves, ending with, It's a Design for Living that Works in Rough Going. We're going to be commenting on that one paragraph only this morning. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Becca R., 12 Traditions, Lily M. Reader of the text will be Stephanie L., and Shelley E. will read page 164. Our backup reader is Kara L. The reference number for Sunday, July 17th, is 19,193. That's 19193. And for this morning, July 18th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,194. That's 19194. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lorraine N., and Robin P. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Becca R. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Becca.
Good morning. This is Becca R. Can you hear me?
Yep, sure can.
Okay, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks for your service. And these are the 12 steps. One. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Becca R. I will now ask Lily M. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Lily.
Good morning, everybody. This is Lily M. from Idaho, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Number six, our OA group I never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our services centers may employ special workers. Number 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for the opportunity to serve, and thank you for your service, Don.
Thank you so much, Lily M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 15, the first paragraph, My Wife and I Abandon Ourselves, ending with, It is a design for living that works in rough going. We're going to be commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Stephanie L. to read and share with us. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. My wife and I abandoned ourselves with enthusiasm to the idea of helping other alcoholics to a solution of their problems. It was fortunate, for my old business associates remained skeptical for a year and a half, during which time I found little work. I was not too well at the time and was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. This sometimes nearly drove me back to drink, but I soon found that when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. Many times I have gone to my old hospital in despair. On talking to a man there, I would be amazingly lifted up and set on my feet. It is a design for living that works in rough going. And there's really a lot here. I really want to focus on the last few sentences, but I do want to say that, you know, I wish I could say that being recovered has meant that I never feel depressed, or I never feel anxious, or I never feel, which I really think are the basic human emotions. I mean, maybe I just, you know, wasn't as aware of them when I was eating because I was numbing everything out, and so that didn't even work. And then that brought me to a place of even worse. Worst depression. But here's the formula. This is the formula. It's right here. It says, when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. So when I am feeling, you know, and I love to ooze with self-pity. Like, that was my MO, you know. I was like a walking ooze. Poor me, poor me, poor me. And the funny thing that happens here is, if I'm thinking about you, I'm not thinking about me. And if I work with another compulsive overeater, whether it's taking another compulsive overeater through the steps, whether it's talking to a newcomer, whether it's talking to someone who's struggling, whatever that capacity is, right? It could be the smallest thing. It could be doing service on a meeting. But when I'm of service and I'm working with others, all of a sudden I feel better. And I just don't get it. I mean, he says, on talking to a man there, I would be amazingly lifted up and set on my feet. Now, I don't know if I feel amazingly lifted up on my feet, but I do know that thinking about you, helping you, working with another compulsive overeater, it is a design for living that works in rough going. And it's not my natural state. My natural state is to hide, you know, with the blinds shut, don't answer the phone, binging my brains out, watching Netflix, escaping into some kind of fantasy world so I don't have to deal with me and my world, right? That's my natural state. So I think that, you know, I know that this is my real purpose in this program, my real purpose, what God would have me do, what God wants me to do. God has given me this gift so that I can put my hand out and in some way help another compulsive overeater. And then, you know, I'm given this design for living that works and we're going. So can't wait to hear what everyone else has to say, and I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Stephanie L. I'll now be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Elaine G.
Amy W.
Becca R.
Cheryl S.
And who is the other one? Lauren H. Okay, let's stop with that lineup there. I have Kara L., Elaine G., Amy W., Becca R., Cheryl S., and Lauren H. Kara L., please get us started. Good morning, Kara. Press star one, Kara.
There we go. Sorry about that. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. I have hope written by this paragraph in my book. And one of the things that I know that gave me hope was the idea that, you know, here's Bill Wilson, one of the founders of our program, the parent program, and I love that, you know, we just read about this huge spiritual awakening from Bill. And I was like, did I have that? I don't know if I had that. But then I hear, you know, this is a person that had this huge spiritual awakening and was still plagued, right? Plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. And it reminds me and it gives me hope that, you know, I am recovered, but it doesn't mean that life doesn't keep happening. And it doesn't mean that I'm fully recovered. What it means is that I have a design for living, as it says, you know, a design for living that works in rough going. So when I get to those spots that are difficult, I have these steps that help show me the way to connect with my higher power, to say, I don't know what I'm doing and I'm having a hard time and please help me, you know, higher power, please help me. And I know, and then it's given me some instructions like, get out of myself, go be of service to someone else, you know, pick up the phone and say, you know, how are you doing? I'll tell you that reading this book, often when I work with sponsees, sometimes I just have the most spiritual moments with another person in interpreting, listening to what they're saying. Rereading things I've read so many times before. And in that moment with that person, I am lifted up. And it's sharing this program and that hope that things don't have to be like I see them. Because I really see through, you know, the hazy vision of a compulsive overeater. And when I lean into my higher power who can see everything, things just seem to work out. And this book and the steps, they help me keep that connection so that I can do that. So that when times are rough, I remember to do that. And I write up inventories, or I just stop and say, I don't know what I'm doing. Please help me. I'm really looking forward to hearing from everybody. And thank you to everybody doing service on the meeting today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kara L. from California. Elaine G., please share with us, followed by Amy W.
Hi, everybody. This is Elaine G. from New York. Glad to be here. I mean, I feel like this paragraph was for me today. But anyway, I had a circumstance where I felt I was right about something, and I felt my son was wrong. And, I was very hard on him, very hard on him. And matter of fact, I was telling all my friends, oh, my God, how could he do this and that? And I'm not going to mention it because it's very controversial, what I'm talking about. And doing a 10th step, I realized that my ego is saying I'm right, he's wrong, but we have a difference of opinion. And I also felt he had a lack of knowing. I felt that way. And he didn't intend that the whole family should get sick. But anyway, I got to make an amends to him because I told him off, and also that I pray for him and his family, and this is the only way I'm going to stay sober and abstinent. And I may not mean it at the time, but I'm going to keep on doing it for 14 days. You know, 14 days, like it says in the big book. I know, pray that only good things happen for him and his family. And otherwise, I was into the food, thinking I'm right. And he's wrong, you know. And I got to forgive him, you know? And that's what it says in the St. Francis prayer. Anyway, I want to thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Elaine G. from New York. Amy W., please share with us, followed by Becca R. Good morning, Amy.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm so grateful to be on the line and participating in this meeting today. And thank you, everyone, for doing service to make this meeting possible. My name's Amy W., recovered in California. Wow, this paragraph, I often go to it to remind myself of Bill's journey and then also take sponsees to this moment in this paragraph. And you know, a few pages before, it's been mentioned, he had this white light experience, you know, the choosing a God of his understanding melted the icy intellectual mountain in whose shadow he had shivered and lived. And then he says, I lived in, you know, I stood in the sunlight at last. So here I am in 10, 11, and 12, living the food entirely down, entirely abstinent, living in the sunlight. And sometimes I get this notion that, you know, it's going to be great. And life still gets lifey. I've had a really difficult last 6 weeks. I've cried a lot. I've done 10 steps to see my part. I've continued with my 11 and 12. And still some days just feel crummy. And the beauty is I can go into the garage and cry or cry wherever. No one promised I wasn't going to be sad in life. And I can pick up the phone and cry on the shoulder of a fellow. who understands. That is in the sunlight. That's living in the sunlight. It's incredible. And even in my down days, I'm reminded what a sponsor taught me, which is the food's down. It's entirely down. You're living. I'm a participant on the planet now, as opposed to feeling like I did for on a 6-year relapse cycle, which was hell. And I know many of you understand that. It's just a gift, even in the down days, to be able to embrace these steps, to live by them, and feel God, my higher power's presence, that we're co-creating together. I'm not alone. And I love this paragraph for that. And exactly, turning towards someone I can help and getting out of my own head, because I can't keep what I don't give away. So I'm just so grateful. Thank you, everyone. Eager to hear everyone else's shares. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Amy W. from California. Becca R., please share with us, followed by Cheryl S. Good morning, Becca.
Hey, good morning. Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater as of yesterday. I finished the Step 12 work with my sponsor, and I'm so excited to say that I am recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body that the disease of overeating had brought me. And this is a great paragraph to chime in on, because immediately, as soon as I finished the work, I feel like these last 4 months I've been so enthralled in step work that I felt this sense of fear and guilt, and not guilt, but fear of, well, what now? And this is a great direction. Like, I abandoned myself. I have such a fear of not having enough time, and it's an act of the third step for me to surrender my will and my life over to God. You know, if there's time, my higher power seems to make the time for me. And so instead of sitting and waiting a few days before putting my name out there, I immediately put my name out there as an available sponsor. And I've just lifted my prayer to my higher power of, okay, God, what next? Show me what the next move or action is to take. And I think, wow, this is it. This is the 12th step, that looking to God for what to do next, that intuition, the next instinct, the next right thought or action. And wow, stepping back from that and seeing that, that's so not Becca R. That's a higher power for sure. So grateful to be here today and just be with you guys and be on the bus. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Becca R. from Kentucky. Cheryl S., please share with us, followed by Lauren H. And just want a quick reminder, if you're just joining us, we are on page 15, the first paragraph. My wife and I abandoned ourselves, ending with, it's a design for living that works in rough going. And we're commenting on that one paragraph this morning. So please share with us, Cheryl S.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S. from Nevada. And this is a pretty powerful paragraph, and I wrote down, Bill was mostly unemployed for the first year and a half of his sobriety, and he says he was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment, and he was nearly driven back to drinking. And I guess I had never thought about that before, you know, that for quite some time, you know, he had moments where he thought he might drink again. And I'm new in my abstinence, fairly new in my abstinence, about 7 months. And I think about different things at times. I haven't felt like I was gonna relapse, but it's, I don't know if it's comforting to know that, you know, I don't have to be perfect. I guess that's what it is. It's that character defect of perfectionism that, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to instantly, you know, be, the obsession is going to be lifted from me. And realizing that I don't have to be perfect and I just have to do it one day at a time and I just have to do the best that I can. And knowing that Bill just did the best that he could and that his character defects didn't all disappear, you know, instantly, then mine don't either. And in my book, I had written down, kind of changed some of the words to, am I willing to abandon myself with enthusiasm to the idea of helping other alcoholics to a solution of their problem? And I thought this was interesting because it didn't say, am I willing to help others to help? It says, am I open enthusiastically to the idea of helping others, which tells me that, once again, all I have to do is be willing. All I have to do is be open, and my higher power will take care of what I need. He will give me what I need to actually follow through, because follow through is not my strong suit, and it's good to know that I don't have to have that. I don't have to have that self-will. I just have to have the idea, the openness. And then the last thing I wrote about this is, how do I find other compulsive overeaters to help? Because for Bill, he was able to go to the hospital where he got treatment and find other alcoholics. And I'm certainly not going to walk up to somebody who's overweight and say, hey, you know, I can help you with you being fat. You know, would you like me to help you? So I think, you know, how am I going to do that? And I think the answer comes to me that it's through meetings. It's, you know, putting yourself out there. It's sharing. It's the tools of the program. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Cheryl S. from Nevada. And Lauren H., will you share with us? And then I'll be opening up the lines to take more names. Good morning, Lauren. Star one, Lauren. Okay, perhaps Lauren had to step away. Just a reminder, we're on page 15, the first paragraph. My wife and I abandon ourselves, commenting on that one paragraph. And if you would like to share on that paragraph, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning on this paragraph?
Kirda B.
Kirda B.
Laura W.
Laura
Deborah
W.
G.
Stephen G.
Laura W.
Deborah
else?
G.
Sherry M.
Deborah G. Sherry M.
Sherry M.
Stephen G.
Stephen G. Okay, let's stop there. Okay, I have Kirda B., Laura W., Deborah G., Sherry M., and Stephen G. And I wanted to make a quick announcement as well. Today is the 10-year anniversary from when A Vision for You started, the Big Book Study. And so happy anniversary to everyone participating in A Vision for You. 10-year anniversary today. So Kirda B., please get us started with your share. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Kirda B., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Southern California. That's really exciting that it's the 10-year anniversary this month. I've been listening for a couple of years, and this is my first time sharing. I actually have 5 months today. I'm very excited about that. So I just wanted to concentrate on plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment, because when that happens to me, it was pointed out that those are the signs that I'm blocked from power, right? And so this whole process unblocks me from the power that gives me the freedom to the freedom from compulsive eating, overeating. And the thing that gets me out of that is work with another compulsive overeater and or alcoholic, as it says in the book. And so that has been true for me and that through my life and in this program, that when I get out of myself, I'm able to unblock and connect with the power that gives me the opportunity to live my life as I truly am. Because I can't fix my problems. I think somebody had said to me at one point, like, I can't fix my problems with a broken brain. It's a little extreme, but it's true. Like, if I concentrate Like, the harder I concentrate on my problems, the worse they seem to get. So it's almost counterintuitive. Like, if I just drop it and I say, God, like, please put somebody in my path that I can be of service to, if I just drop it and help someone else, everything seems to work out. It's really, it's like magic. And I love that he says that he would just go back. It's sometimes, I can't find it quick enough, but that he would go back to the hospital, right, to find people. It's like, you know, I have to put myself in the path of people who need help, if that's the case, because it's that important. And I can't help others if I'm not constantly living in the steps. So I have to remember to be in 10, 11, and I have to do my 10th and 11th step, and I have to take people through the steps. So I have to have done this work so that I can share it with others. So thank you for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Kira to be. And I'm now going to ask if Lauren H. is back on the line and is available to share. Okay. Let's go ahead then with Laura W., followed by Deborah G. Go ahead, Laura. Press star one, Laura.
Hi, this is Laura W. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hi. I'm a compulsive overeater. I live in the Chicago area, and I haven't shared in a while, but I love hearing this reading today. I love A Vision for You. It's where I continue to get strength for recovery. And it's a wonderful meeting, but it's difficult for me often to get on it live. So I have been searching and searching for a meeting that I could go to in the afternoons that was similar to A Vision for You, because in the afternoons, I lose energy, my blood sugar falls, and it's a difficult time for me. And it's also, I'm often at work, but it's kind of a lull period, but I can't get up and go to a meeting. And I found a meeting, finally, that's at 3:30 in the afternoon, and it's called A Design for Living. It's actually out of Australia, but it's a book, a big book meeting, and it's very similar to A Vision for You. I realize that's a little plug on our meeting, but I have to say I just love it because it's so similar and the recovery is strong and it's all across the world. And the idea of it is a design for living, such as A Vision for You also comes from the big book. And the only other thing I wanted to say is that my recovery is organic. It goes up and down. My abstinence stays the same, but my underlying activity and food plans may change. And so I need to have meetings in my life that keep me on the straight and narrow path and that keep me in a relationship with other fellows on this road and this journey. And for that, I'm so grateful for this meeting in particular and grateful that I could get on today live. So, and wonderful that it's been 10 years. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura W. from Illinois. Deborah G., please share with us, followed by Sherry M. Go ahead, Deborah.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Dawn, so much for being of service today and all those that have made this meeting possible. Excuse me, and all those that have 12-stepped me this morning with your beautiful shares. They're so good. And happy birthday, OA Vision. It's saved my life. This is where I got recovered. And I hear so many others tell me how much Vision has helped them. So it's truly a beautiful program. And I'm so grateful because of my abstinence, I have more clarity when these things crop up. You know, all kinds of things crop up in my head, you know, not just those four things in that 84-page small paragraph. I mean, I've had taking things personally and comparing my, and you know what the beauty of all that is? I can take anything to a 10 step. Because before, I wasn't even aware of all this stuff, and I was constantly going to the food. No thought had crossed my mind about taking it to a 10 step. So I'm so grateful and blessed, and thank you, God, that I have that clarity and awareness. And in that 10 step, I go to someone else in the end to see how I can be of service. I collect newcomers' phone numbers. I have sponsors' phone numbers, and how can I help? And it gets me back, because see, when I'm in that stuff, it takes me off the alignment beam with that power, with that beautiful, loving power presence. And so I just get all miscombobulated. And when I do this work, it gets me back in alignment again. So I'm just so grateful for this solution. And all of you, thank you so much. Have a beautiful, blessed day.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Sherry M., will you share with us, followed by Stephen G.?
Good morning. This is Sherry M., and I'm gratefully recovered today, living in Wyoming. I'm still under California on the phone list, and I just want to say happy anniversary to A Vision for You. There are two things that I know for certain. And one is that I would not be living a life of freedom from this seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, this deadly disease of compulsive overeating, if I had not found A Vision for You. That is for sure. How do I know that? Because I was in OA for 16 years, working the steps and doing what I thought I needed, and I didn't know about a thing called entire abstinence, number one. Number two is that I would not be recovered today if I didn't vigorously work with others. And because of A Vision for You scaring me and telling me that I should be more afraid not to sponsor than to sponsor, I went out with a vengeance and just started sponsoring immediately when I got recovered. Thank goodness I got recovered right before the pandemic. And talk about rough going, you know, as everyone probably experienced some form of situation through the pandemic, through my husband's illness, through change of employment and career, through loss of income, through moving to another state, through many deaths. I had four different deaths, and my longtime AA sponsor, like a mother, died. I mean, you name it, and I had trials and tribulations because life is happening. And I never thought about eating through any of these circumstances. And why? Because I work steps 1 to 12 every day. And working with others is the greatest joy and highlight in my life. And I never say no to a sponsorship request, because the sad fact of compulsive overeating is I could say yes to four different people, four different women, and only one is going to make it through, go through the steps entirely abstinent, because that's what we're dealing with here, a deadly disease, a disease of amnesia, a disease of delusion. And I always know, too, just from my own experience of 16 years doing it one way, which I wasn't surrendered, you know, I thought I knew what I needed, right? And I would interview sponsors and this and that. So I always know when someone's going to make it with me or not, because either they're interviewing me or they're saying, I don't care who you are. I know you're recovered. I want what you have. Let's go. Those are the ones that make it through and start sponsoring others and get recovered. And so when, if you're out of ideas and you're out of options, the thing about Vision that is just, it's such a gratitude. There are more recovered sponsors joyfully, happily wanting to help others than there are people who need the help, I think. That's just my estimation. And if you haven't found a sponsor yet, I'm going to put a plug for the earlier meeting, the unrecorded meeting at the end, 10 minutes to the hour. I think that's 8:50 Eastern Standard Time. You know, there's 20 sponsors, and I leave their name. And so that's all I want to say. Congrats to anybody celebrating today as a day of recovery. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry M. Stephen G., will you share with us? And then I'll take a couple more names.
Yeah, good morning. I'm Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive reader in Toronto, Canada. thanks to everybody for their shares. As was mentioned before, there's a lot of good stuff in this particular paragraph. What stood out for me was the line that says, the idea of helping other alcoholics to a solution of their problems. So it doesn't say a solution to their problem. It says a solution to all their problems. And what is that solution? It's entire abstinence from all the alcoholic foods and behaviors, plus a spiritual experience as a result of working the steps according to the instructions in the Big Book. And when I do that, I get not only a solution to my compulsive overeating problem, but I have, as it says, a design for living that addresses all my problems. If I have a problem with my health, the solution is draw closer to a higher power. If I have a problem with my finances, the solution is draw closer to a higher power. If I have a problem with relationships, the solution is draw closer to my higher power. And the book gives me instructions on how to do this. Once I've been entirely abstinent, I've worked through step 1 through 9, and step 10 and 11 and 12 are the daily instructions for how to solve all my problems. First, deal with the resentments and fears associated with that problem. Then seek God's will through step 11, and step 12, be of service to others. And because I'm going to get drawn back into self-pity and resentment based on what I perceive to be my problems in the world, and I begin to see that they're all coming from my character defects, which are self-centered. And the solution is unblock myself, get closer to a higher power, and be of service to others. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Stephen G. And I do have time now for about two-minute shares. If there are a couple people out there, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share?
Babylonia A.
Okay, Babylonia A. And Debbie P.
Cheryl.
Okay, Babylonia A and Debbie P. I'm sorry, that's all we have time for today. So go ahead, Babylonia.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Grateful to be in program. And I really like this paragraph that we read because I had a slip 20 days ago, but I'm back on track. Whenever I'm having a food craving now, I just be of service to someone, and getting out of myself and asking someone else how they're doing helps take the food craving away, and I make as many phone calls as the craving lasts. And also there's a line in the Big Book that says there's a little bit of bad in the best of us and a little bit of good in the worst of us, and I honestly really agree with that. And being a program has helped me realize that it's better to focus on the positive in other people, and I can learn something from every human being. And I've learned something from my sponsees. Like, I learned to weigh and measure from one of my sponsees. I wasn't doing that before. And I just learned something from every person I meet, and everyone is so valuable, and God makes it that way. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Babylonia from California. And just a reminder to everyone, please, when you do share, don't be on speakerphone to be able to have a clear hearing of your voice. So please, no speakerphones. And Debbie P., please share with us. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Debbie P. from Indiana. Good morning, everyone out there on the line. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. This is a great paragraph for me today. I do not do as I'm supposed to and make as many calls as I need to every day. But I sure can tell you that whenever I do, I just feel so uplifted. I don't know that I help anybody specifically, but when I reach out and I share experience, strength, and hope, and I ask for others' experience, strength, and hope, I know that I have courage to keep going, and it just feels so light. I know that's a higher power thing that's helping me through. So anyway, thank you all. I welcome outreach calls, and I continue to make outreach calls as best I can on a daily basis, and that keeps me abstinent today. So thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. from Indiana. I do have time for another share, although we value your experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share.
Sherry KB.
Sherry KB, go ahead. Go ahead, Sherry KB.
Good morning. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Dawn, and Team Monday, and everyone on the line. And I just want to say happy anniversary of Vision for You, 10 years today, 10 years to the day that we've all been here on this line. And what an amazing group this is, and the meeting, and all the wonderful people that do service on this line and have been doing it for 10 years. And I just want to say happy anniversary. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry KB from California. And we do have time for another share. If someone hasn't shared in the last 3 days, please give me your name. I think, was it Cheryl? I heard someone say their name.
Yeah, it was Cheryl. Thank you.
Okay, Cheryl, what's your initial?
A.D.
A.D. Okay, very good.
California.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Please share with us.
My name is Cheryl A.D. from Ventura, California. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you, everybody who started this meeting. It has changed my life to get on this meeting and get sponsored and learn what the solution is. I just wanted to say that somebody who really helped me one time when my my dog died, and there's a difference between grief and self-pity. It says in this paragraph, you know, I was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. Part of what I was plagued by was self-pity and guilt. And this person said, why don't you get off the phone and call 5 people and don't tell them what your troubles are, but be of service to them. And that may seem like a radical thing to say to somebody whose dog just died. That helped me, and that saved my life. It really saved me. Because if I get into morbid reflection and waves of self-pity, I'm going to be taken out. And yesterday was a beautiful day of service, and I know God can demonstrate through me when my channels are open in that way, both in the program and outside of our fellowship and program. So I'm so grateful to learn these things and not to be the person I used to be who would go to everyone for help. But now, you know, maybe I can also do the work I need to do for my recovery and
time.
Let God demonstrate through me. Thank you. Sorry for going on. I pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl A.D. from California. And we're now going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Oh, thanks, Dawn. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater, presently on Mackinac Island. And happy birthday, Vision. Page 164 is the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you than to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come. Your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you charge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service in my past.